Now, it is a well-worn broadcasting cliché to describe something as the last taboo, but when it comes to loneliness, I really don't think it's unreasonable. These days, people will burden you with the most intimate details of their sex lives and their bowel movements, but not many of us will admit to being lonely. And this is a country, after all, where nearly a third of the population lives alone. A new survey of 4,000 people suggests that we've lost the art of making friends, and almost 6 out of 10 respondents just long simply for someone to have a coffee and a natter with. Studies have shown that loneliness can be as bad for your health as smoking and obesity. Well, Esther Ranson has been busting taboos for years. Esther, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And she wrote recently about her own loneliness. And Christine Weber is a psychotherapist. Christine, welcome to the programme.
Morning, thank you very much.
Now, Esther, you wrote a long and very moving article about being lonely, and the reaction you got to it, I think, took your breath away, didn't it?
It certainly did. People quite close to me were horrified that I didn't have enough pride to stop me doing such a thing, that it was too personal, it was shame-making. And I had the most wonderful letter, entirely in capital letters, from someone I work with called Ada Johnson, who lives in Scotland. She was a star of a programme I did called The Big Time. And she said, "Never did I ever think I'd read such an article. This is from someone who's been on her own for 31 years and at the age of 81 never has time to mope." And there is this sort of sad feel. She gives me a whole schedule of things I should do, ending up get a rescue dog so that you can meet ordinary people on the common and have a chat, be positive, get up off your, and then there's a row of dots. But there was that which was very brisk. I loved it. But there were people closer to me who really felt that I had pulled off an emotional skin too many, that it was wrong of me to do that. And someone expressed it really clearly, wrote to me and said, "Loneliness has a shaming quality born out of the perception of social failure. It's an ache that dares not speak its name for fear people will think us needy or at very least lacking joie de vivre and so will shun us like an empty restaurant," which I thought was really telling.
Tell me about your experience of loneliness. When did you first have to admit to yourself that you were lonely?
Well, It's a sort of gradual change of my circumstance, because as a child in a very noisy family with a sister I was very close to, there was constant companionship and company and people who cared about you.
Segment 1. Now, it is a well-worn broadcasting cliché to describe something as the last taboo, but when it comes to loneliness, I really don't think it's unreasonable. These days, people will burden you with the most intimate details of their sex lives and their bowel movements, but not many of us will admit to being lonely. And this is a country, after all, where nearly a third of the population lives alone. A new survey of 4,000 people suggests that we've lost the art of making friends, and almost 6 out of 10 respondents just long simply for someone to have a coffee and a natter with. Studies have shown that loneliness can be as bad for your health as smoking and obesity. Well, Esther Ranson has been busting taboos for years. Esther, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And she wrote recently about her own loneliness. And Christine Weber is a psychotherapist. Christine, welcome to the programme.
Morning, thank you very much.
Segment 2. Now, Esther, you wrote a long and very moving article about being lonely, and the reaction you got to it, I think, took your breath away, didn't it?
It certainly did. People quite close to me were horrified that I didn't have enough pride to stop me doing such a thing, that it was too personal, it was shame-making. And I had the most wonderful letter, entirely in capital letters, from someone I work with called Ada Johnson, who lives in Scotland. She was a star of a programme I did called The Big Time. And she said, "Never did I ever think I'd read such an article. This is from someone who's been on her own for 31 years and at the age of 81 never has time to mope."
Segment 3.
And there is this sort of sad feel. She gives me a whole schedule of things I should do, ending up. Get a rescue dog so that you can meet ordinary people on the common and have a chat. Be positive. Get up off your... And then there's a row of dots. But there was that, which was very brisk. I loved it. But there were people closer to me who really felt that I had pulled off an emotional skin too many, that it was wrong of me to do that. And someone expressed it really clearly, wrote to me and said, loneliness has a shaming quality born out of the perception of social failure.
Segment 4.
It's an ache that dares not speak its name for fear people will think us needy, or at very least lacking joie de vivre, and so will shun us like an empty restaurant. Which I thought was really telling.
Tell me about your experience of loneliness. When did you first have to admit to yourself that you were lonely?
Well, it's a sort of gradual change of my circumstance, because as a child in a very noisy family with a sister I was very close to, there was constant companionship and company and people who cared about you.